This is Audible.
Harper Audio presents Everyone's an Alien When You're an Alien Too, a book by Jomny Sun. This is the author. At first, there's nothing. A bright, blank nothing. Then, a spaceship appears, seemingly out of nowhere, carrying the night sky with it. A darkness full of stars, shiny and twinkling, surrounds the spaceship like a protective bubble as it approaches Earth. Whoosh. Wobble wobble. Screech. Thump. The spaceship lands. The night it carries with it spreads. It's nighttime now across all of Earth. Out of the spaceship topples a gaggle of aliens, all looking exactly the same. They all break into pairs, except one particular alien who looks slightly the same but also exactly different from all the other aliens. This particular alien isn't paired with anyone. The aliens survey the new planet they've landed on under the cover of night. "Please find out about the Earth creatures," says the first alien, to the alien who looks slightly different than all the other aliens. "Humans," says the second alien, pointing at a bird that happens to be flying overhead at that exact moment. "Yes, humans," says the third alien, pointing to a tuft of grass on the ground. "Take your time, really, take as much time as you need," says the fourth alien, fiddling with a device that emits a soft bipping sound from its antenna. Bip, bip, bip. The alien who looks slightly the same and exactly different from all the other aliens surveys the planet and finally speaks. "So, you're leaving me here all alone?" asks the slightly different alien. "Well, we will check on you in case you mess anything up," says the fifth alien in response. "Okay," says the slightly different alien, not reassured by that response at all. The sixth alien's device starts faintly bipping as well. "Can we go already?" says the sixth alien, already bored of this planet. And so, all the aliens except for the slightly similar but exactly different alien pile back into the spaceship, two by two, leaving the slightly different alien alone to find out about the Earth creatures. "Humans," the alien recalls the other aliens calling them. Vroosh. The spaceship lifts off, taking the night sky with it, stars and darkness and all, as it disappears into the daylight. The alien, left behind, watches it go. Everyone's an Alien When You're an Alien Too, a book by Jomny Sun. A single lone bee flies by, looks up, and smiles. The alien begins walking around and almost immediately sees a tree with a head full of nice leaves standing all by itself out in the open. "Hello, are you a Earth creature?" the alien asks, gently placing a hand on the tree's bark. "Yes," says the tree. The alien nods and walks away, satisfied. "I have met a human," the alien says. The alien walks for a long, desolate period of time and suddenly sees something small and moving slowly on the ground, only a little bit bigger than a tuft of grass. It's a snail. The alien doesn't know what a snail is, so the alien kneels down and shouts, "Tell me about yourself," excitedly at the small human. The snail looks up, pauses for just a moment, and says, "Oh, gee, well, nobody has ever asked me about myself. Well, I guess everybody tells me I am too small and too slow to make a difference in this world, but I'm making a difference in my own world, and I hope that is enough." The alien ponders this and leaves the snail to continue making a difference in the snail's own world. The alien keeps walking along when suddenly screaming is heard in the distance. The alien looks up and sees an enormous bear. Then a large group of small humans runs past the alien, away from the bear, in terror. Falling behind last in the group is a flower, who is stuck in the ground and can't actually run away at all, and chooses to simply tremble at the bear instead. Falling behind second last is a turtle, who screams, "Run! Run as fast as you can! Faster! Save yourselves! Leave me behind and save yourselves!" A worm, a hedgehog, and a number of bees and birds who make up the rest of the group do exactly that. "Run! R-U-N! Run!" screams one particular bee. The alien, however, disregards the bee's warning and simply regards the bear instead. Aside from being incredibly big, the bear is not doing anything threatening, the alien notices. In fact, the bear is kind of just standing there. "Wow, you are big," the alien says, walking up to the bear. "Are you gonna run screaming from me then?" asks the bear, in a way that's more a statement than a question. "No," the alien responds, opting to poke the bear instead. "Oh, Thank you, the bear says, surprised, but also grateful. The alien walks away from the bear, and a little while later, stumbles across a dog. The alien crouches down to say hi to the dog when the dog says a joyful but indecipherable word, one that can roughly be written as the symbol of a heart. Oh, says the alien. I am sorry, I do not understand that word, but okay. The alien continues walking and comes across a round, smooth rock. The rock begins to shake. It's an egg. Hello, what are you? The alien asks the egg. I don't know yet, says the egg. Okay, says the alien. Isn't that exciting? Says the egg, shaking with excitement. The alien continues on and comes across a hedgehog looking longingly at a flower, who is now talking to a group of very enamored bees. Who are you? The alien asks the hedgehog. Oh, I'm an introvert, which is different from an extrovert, says the hedgehog. What's that? Asks the alien. Well, says the hedgehog, introverts enjoy people watching. Extroverts enjoy people watching. Okay, says the alien, now joining the hedgehog to look at the flower, who the alien decides must be an extrovert because of all the bees. Oh yeah, bees, you like this? Says the flower. The group of bees smiles. Do you like what I got? The group of bees swoon. You like what you see? The group of bees all have hearts fill their eyes. Because there's plenty of me to go around, says the flower. One particular bee ventures a response. Hi, H-I, hi, says the one particular bee. The flower flexes back in that bee's direction. The alien walks until a big pond appears, blocking the path forward. From under the water, a creature swims up and leaps gracefully into the air. It's an otter. You swim very nicely, the alien shouts to the otter. Of course. I'm an auteur, says the otter, gracefully striking a pose in midair. Hello, otter, the alien says. Upon hearing this, the otter, suddenly downtrodden, lands back in the pond with crossed arms in a small, perfect splash, and swims around for a few distraught yet effortless circles. The otter reemerges above the water. No, wait, I'm an auteur, says the otter. The alien turns around from the pond and walks away from the disappointed otter, until another, much, much smaller pond appears. The pond is so small it could almost be a puddle. The alien kneels down to get a closer look and sees a tadpole floating in the tiny pond. Next to the pond is a worm, and then there's the egg again, who the alien recognizes, still shaking excitedly. Hello, who are you? The alien asks the new creatures. It's not about who we are, it is about what we will become. The alien turns around from the pond and walks away from the disappointed otter until another, much, much smaller pond appears. The pond is so small it could almost be a puddle. The alien kneels down to get a closer look and sees a tadpole floating in the tiny pond. Next to the pond is a worm, and then there's the egg again, who the alien recognizes, still shaking excitedly. Hello, who are you? The alien asks the new creatures. It's not about who we are, it is about what we will become, says the worm, patiently but with excitement. That is the gift of being a baby, says the tadpole. Isn't it exciting? Shouts the egg, shaking even harder with excitement. The alien thinks about what the tadpole said about gifts and continues walking until the tree shows up again. What is a gift? The alien asks the tree. Can I have a gift? Oh, says the tree carefully. I actually learned to stop giving things to somebody just because they want something. I don't think that would end well for me, the tree frowns knowingly. The alien, seeing the tree frowning, decides to give the tree a hug. What if I give you a hug? Asks the alien. Oh, I love hugs, says the tree. But really, you don't have to give me anything to be my friend. The alien sits down next to the tree and ponders this for a while. What's a friend? Asks the alien. The tree looks down at the alien and smiles. A friend is anyone or anything who shares a life with you that you would never be able to experience without them. The alien ponders this. Suddenly, things make sense. Hello, friend. You used to be a dinosaur, the alien says to a bird. The bird looks up at the alien and blinks. Hello, friend. You used to be a baby, the alien says to an adult human skeleton. The skeleton does nothing. Maybe stay away from that friend, says the tree, beckoning the alien away from the skeleton. Okay, says the alien. The alien walks away and comes across a vegetable sitting there all on its own. It's an onion. I'm like an onion, says the onion. Peel back the layers and you'll see that deep down inside, I'm just a smaller, more afraid onion. But you are an onion, says the alien. Now I want to cry, sputters the onion, rolling away to do just that. The alien leaves the onion to cry and sees an owl sitting on a branch high above. Hello, friend. Who are you? Asks the alien. Who? Who am I? Asks the owl. I don't really know. Everybody calls me wise, and I've tried to learn very much about the world, but I don't feel very wise. And I know that owls are supposed to be wise. So then, I don't feel owly enough to be an owl. The owl sighs. I feel like one day I'll meet another owl and they'll take one look at me and say, Oh, somebody made a mistake. You're not supposed to be an owl at all. The owl sits in silence for a while, looking down but not looking at anything in particular. The branch that the owl is sitting on wiggles slightly, and the alien notices that the branch is one of the arms of the tree, who is sad for the owl and is holding the owl up. After a little while, the owl gestures to the alien. Anyway, who are you? Asks the owl. I'm Jomny, says the alien, and we finally learn the alien's name. The alien's name, as it turns out, is Jomny. The owl sighs. Oh, lucky. The alien, whose name we now know is Jomny, continues walking and sees the flower talking to some bees again. I love you. I love you not. I love you. I love you not, says the flower to the bees. Jomny approaches two of the bees near the edge of the group. Will you be my friends? Jomny asks the bees. I'm sorry, we can't. I'm afraid we will accidentally sting you, says one of the bees, looking knowingly at the other. The other bee nods despondently. Jomny walks away. A little while later, a small, furry, anxious creature waddles quickly past Jomny carrying a pile of sticks. It's a beaver. Wait, hello, friend, Jomny calls, following the beaver with outstretched arms, trying to help carry the sticks. I'm sorry, I am sorry, says the beaver in a very Canadian way. I have to work and I don't have time to be your friend. I'm sorry, can't you see I'm in a hurry here? Jomny follows the beaver, still trying to help, until they both find themselves walking past the tree. The tree stops Jomny and says, Oh, don't bother with that damn beaver. Hearing this, the beaver turns around anxiously. But I need to work. Please stay out of my damn business, says the beaver. Then please stop stealing my branches, says the tree. They're not yours, shouts the beaver. Yes, they are, shouts the tree. I'm sorry, but they're my damn branches now, shouts the beaver. Those are my arms, shouts the tree. Jomny, worried about all the loud shouting, walks away from the beaver and the tree, when out of nowhere appears the egg, who suddenly also begins shouting. What if I never hatch? Shouts the egg. Or what if I do hatch and it's the best moment of my life, but then I never get to hatch again? What if I want to hatch but also never hatch? Can I do both? Or neither? Why are you so worried? Asks Jomny. You're an egg. The egg shakes internally. That's not fair. You already know who you are, says the egg. But you're an egg, says Jomny. The egg lays down and is quiet for a moment. You just don't get it, sighs the egg. Oh, Jomny says. Jomny leaves the egg to be silent for a while, when the dog appears again, this time rolling into view. The dog rolls into a nice spot in the grass, belly up, and says another joyful but indecipherable word that can also be roughly written as the symbol of a heart. Jomny kneels down to look at the dog and the heart word. I still do not know what that means, but I know that I am happy now, says Jomny. Then, quietly, from a distant corner of the sky, the spaceship appears, carrying the night with it, stars and darkness and all, as it lands in the distance. By the time Jomny gets to the spaceship, all the aliens, still looking exactly the same, have tumbled out of the spaceship in pairs and are tentatively surveying the landscape. Under the cover of the night, stars twinkling in the darkness to provide just enough light to see, Jomny rushes up to two of the aliens, excitedly. "I like the humans. They are all so different, and I wish I could be more like them," Jomny says, reporting on the Earth creatures. "You are not supposed to like them," says the first alien. "You're supposed to research them," says the second alien, agreeing with the first alien. "I do not like them," says the third alien. "He should be more like us," says the fourth alien, agreeing with the third alien. "He is already too weird," says the fifth alien. "Yeah," says the sixth alien, agreeing with the fifth alien. "The humans are weird," says the seventh alien. "Yeah," says the eighth alien, agreeing with the seventh alien. Deeply unsatisfied with Jomny's mission update, the aliens all pile back into the spaceship, two by two. Vroosh. The spaceship takes off, leaving Jomny alone on Earth again, watching the spaceship get smaller and smaller in the starry night sky. Eventually, Jomny goes from searching for the receding spaceship among the stars to simply watching the stars themselves. Jomny remains, still and silent, for a long time. Finally, Jomny looks down at the ground, at the Earth. "I feel alone," the alien says. Suddenly and without warning, another voice speaks. Or rather, to be more accurate, another voice appears. The stars all around move out of the way to give space for this voice. "You are not alone," says the voice, simultaneously from all around and from nowhere at once. "I am here," says the voice, comforting and at the same time, intangible. Jomny, hearing, or perhaps feeling the presence of this voice, looks up in alarm. Suddenly the world is blank. There are no stars, no earth, no ground, no sky. Only Jomny in this blank, boundless void and nothing else. "Who said that?" says Jomny. "Nobody," says the voice, emerging from all corners and quite literally telling the truth. "Who are you?" asks Jomny. "I am nothing," says the voice, whose name is nothing. Upon hearing this, Jomny breathes a sigh of relief. "Oh, phew, I thought somebody was talking to me," says Jomny to no one in particular. Upon hearing this, the void disappears. Or rather, the void is filled with stars, with night, with dirt, with grass. And Jomny is back on Earth, with the stars twinkling above and the Earth in the ground below. Jomny walks away contentedly. The stars in the sky make room once again for nothing's voice to appear, this time all alone, with no alien nearby to talk to. Sigh, nothing sighs, watching Jomny walk away. Jomny walks around until the night sky begins to fill with daylight. The source of all this daylight, a small bright dot, so bright it is hard for Jomny to look at directly, floats lazily upward into the sky. All around the small bright dot, birds appear, flying around it and flapping their wings and watching it rise. "Look, everyone, we can see the sky again. What has happened?" says one of the birds, not understanding the concept of daytime. "The eternal darkness was not eternal. I thought it would be eternal," says another bird, who every night thinks every night will last forever. "I think it's because of that floating, glowing dot. It looks like a lentil," says the third bird, noticing the small, bright dot bringing in all the daylight. "I like lentils, but this lentil is impossible to eat," says a fourth bird, trying to eat the small, bright dot, but somehow never being able to touch it. "You're not supposed to eat it. You're just supposed to let it glow," says a fifth bird, serenely understanding the point of the small bright dot. "The glowing lentil has allowed us to live another day," says a sixth bird, rejoicing in flight. "Thank you, lentil. We love you," says a seventh bird to the small bright dot. The small bright dot does not reply, but continues to lazily float upward, high into the air. Jomny walks away from the birds, who have now all landed on the Earth, staring up at the small, bright dot in awe and reverence. Jomny continues walking until once again the big pond appears. This time the hedgehog, who Jomny remembers is called an introvert, is sitting at the edge of the pond. The pond is still. The hedgehog waits patiently. Then, with a small, perfect splash, the otter leaps out of the water gracefully, striking a pose in the air and smiling serenely at Jomny and the hedgehog. The hedgehog smiles. "I love art," says the hedgehog. To experience somebody's art is to be invited into a silent conversation they are having with themselves. The otter dives back into the water with another perfect splash and surfaces again, this time closer to Jomny and the hedgehog. "Yes, my dear," says the otter. "In fact, art allows us to remember things we have never done and go to places we have never been." The hedgehog looks at Jomny. "Like swimming," the hedgehog says, knowingly. "Oh, dear. Yes. Well, no," the otter tries to explain. "You see, my dears, making art is one of the only ways we can tell ourselves who we once were and who we aspire to be." Jomny understands now. "Like a baby, or a human," Jomny says, helpfully. "Oh, sort of," says the otter, a little bit confused now. Jomny leaves the hedgehog and otter to have their own conversation and walks away, eventually coming across the beaver again. The beaver is no longer carrying the sticks from before, but has made them into a pile on the ground. The beaver anxiously rifles through a number of instructional, step-by-step construction manuals, creating a mess of pages laid out all around. "Do you want to play?" Jomny asks the beaver. The beaver rifles through the instruction pages restlessly, appearing completely distraught and confused. "I'm sorry, I have too much dam work to do, and I don't think I will have enough time to finish," says the beaver helplessly. "Okay," says Jomny tentatively, not knowing how to help. Jomny, unable to help the beaver, continues walking and comes across a very proud bird. This bird isn't the same as the smaller birds that were flying around the small, bright dot that Jomny saw earlier. This bird's head is held high, and this bird walks decisively, with grandeur and purpose. This bird, unlike the other birds, is a pigeon. "Hello, friend," Jomny says, as the very important pigeon struts by and without making any eye contact mutters, "Excuse me, but I am not your friend. I do not know you. Do not talk to me. Ugh, I am surrounded by simpletons out here." The pigeon walks off as another bird, one of the small birds, lands next to Jomny. "That's what happens when you spend too much time in the city," the small bird says. A little while later, in the distance, Jomny sees the tree smiling and sees that the tree is holding an apple. The apple wiggles out of the tree's leaves and drops to the ground. "Oh no, my child," shouts the tree in alarm. "I'm not your child. I gotta find my real parents," shouts the apple back to the tree. Jomny walks closer to the tree as the apple rolls by, past Jomny and away from the tree, stoically and silently. Roll, roll, roll. The tree looks on sadly as the apple rolls away. "Why does everyone I love always leave?" the tree says, rustling sadly as leaves start to fall from the tree's branches. "Are you okay?" Jomny asks the tree. "I'm not even an apple tree," responds the tree, sighing deeply. Among the falling leaves, an acorn falls quickly and lands on the ground happily. Plunk! The acorn bounces and rolls away, smiling. The tree watches the acorn leave and continues rustling sadly. Later, Jomny comes across the bear and they come across the turtle, who is still very afraid of the bear but has devised a clever way to stay hidden. See, the turtle has found a camouflage vest and is wearing it happily. The turtle, feeling so confident in being hidden, steps out in front of the bear. "Hello, I am a chameleon. Now you cannot see me," smiles the turtle, convinced that the camouflage vest is working. "No, you're not," says the bear, slightly confused. "You're a turtle wearing a tiny camouflage vest." The turtle, realizing the bear can see the camouflage vest and therefore can see the turtle, begins shaking nervously. "No, ah," stammers the turtle. The bear and Jomny look at each other. "How long did it take you to make that vest?" asks the bear, trying to ease the tension and help the situation. "Can I have a vest too?" Jomny asks, trying to be nice. The turtle, however, continues to be afraid. "How can you see me?" shakes the turtle, defeated, trying to get as small as possible and hide. To be helpful, Jomny and the bear part ways and leave the turtle to feel hidden. Jomny encounters the hedgehog wearing a small tutu. "So, why do you want to dance now?" Jomny asks. "I want to make an art. I want to perform," says the hedgehog excitedly. The hedgehog sees the turtle in the distance and decides that the turtle's shell would make a perfect stage to perform from. "But I thought you were an introvert," says Jomny, following the hedgehog. And what better way to spend time with yourself than by learning how much you are able to do? Exclaims the hedgehog, climbing onto the turtle's shell as the turtle smiles supportively. The hedgehog, now on top of the turtle's shell, balances on 2 feet, then on 1. Thinking of how graceful the otter is in the pond, the hedgehog attempts to strike a pose. Things go well until suddenly, the hedgehog loses balance and appears to slip, as if on a banana peel, even though a banana peel is nowhere in sight. The hedgehog goes flying upward, tumbling and flipping uncontrollably up, around, then finally down, eventually crashing into a patch of grass and leaves. "Please stop looking at me," mumbles the hedgehog, defeated. Jomny walks past a pile of oak tree leaves that has formed among the grass. These leaves look similar but different to the leaves Jomny sees on the tree, as these leaves are brown and curled up a bit. A single leaf blows by, caught by the wind, and is lifted toward the clouds. Then Jomny sees the tree, but something about the tree, Jomny notices, looks different. All the leaves the tree normally holds are gone. Now, Jomny can see the tree's branches, a magnificent and complex network of connections rising from out of the top of the tree's head. A single leaf remains, slowly turning brown and curling up, but still clinging onto one of the tree's lower branches. Jomny looks up at all of this in wonder, seeing the tree in a new light. "Did you get a haircut?" Jomny asks. "I don't like it when my leaves leave," says the tree, as Jomny sits down, looking at all the leaves scattered along the ground. "It makes me feel cold and afraid and alone. Everybody else gets to leave, but I am stuck in the same place forever." As the tree says this, the last remaining leaf lets go of the tree's branch and begins to fall. The tree watches the leaf flutter and tumble toward the ground. Just before it lands, a gust of wind comes by and takes the leaf away, carrying it gracefully through the air. The tree looks on and sighs. "How many friends in my life have I already had my last conversation with?" Jomny sits with the tree and keeps the tree company for a while, but eventually has to get up and leave too. Jomny walks to the little pond. The tadpole and the egg are gathered around looking somber. The worm has made a little cocoon on a nearby branch and is now climbing into it tentatively. "What's wrong?" Jomny asks. The tadpole turns to Jomny with 2 little tadpole hands rubbing together worriedly. Sometimes, a caterpillar will wait too long and die in its cocoon before ever becoming a butterfly. The worm, a special type of worm called a caterpillar, nods slowly and closes the top hatch. The tadpole and the egg wait, not knowing how long is too long to wait, and how long is not long enough. Jomny walks alone for a while. While walking alone, Jomny happens across a bear, also walking alone. They decide to walk alone together, in silence, until a bee flies by in the other direction. The bear gestures up at the bee as the bee contemplates a mountain in the background. "What if bees are misunderstood?" the bear says to Jomny as the bee contemplates a cloud. "What if bees don't actually want to sting you?" the bear says to Jomny as the bee contemplates a tuft of grass. "What if bees just want to die?" Upon hearing this, the bee turns around and flies slowly towards the bear, all the while trying to figure out the right words to say to the bear in response. "But we don't want to die," says the bee. "Do you know how hard it is to decide to sting somebody? It will hurt them really bad, and it will make us die. So on one wing, we will die, but on the other wing, the rest of us will not die," the bee buzzes. "In the moment, we get scared and the only thing we think of is protecting the ones we love. We don't want to die, but if it means that it will make the rest of us not die, then we will do it. If I have to die, it will be because I love the ones I love so much that I would do anything to protect them." The bee hovers, wavering slightly. "If I have to die, it will be worth it because it means the ones I love will not. They will get to continue to live, to love, to be happy, to experience sadness. If I am not there, I will be at peace knowing that I was the reason that they still are." The bee pauses, studying the bear's face. "Do you understand? Do you have any idea what that kind of love feels like?" The bee flies closer to the bear now. "Because to be honest, I don't think you do. You're the one who everyone is afraid of, not us bees. Everybody is afraid of you, and you have nobody to give your love to, and I think that's made you feel like life has been unfair to you." The bear's expression softens. But still, even then, continues the bee, you've stayed positive. You've spent your whole life by yourself, with yourself. And so you have learned how to know yourself and how to love your life, and you're truly happy with both those things. But I think that even in your happy, solitary life, you fear more than anything else that nobody will ever get to know the powerful love that you have grown within yourself. It's like having a secret that you can't share with anybody because nobody is willing to listen. And so while you're not lonely, you still sometimes like to imagine a life with somebody else. Yet for the life of you, you can't imagine who that somebody could be. And so you project that as fear and anger onto others, those who have that one thing that you do not. You're so full of love, but all your love comes out of you in destructive ways. The bee stops talking. A single tear rolls down the bear's left cheek. "Wee, I'm free," shouts the teardrop delightedly. The bee contemplates the bear and then realizes that the words the bee chose to say were a lot for the bear to hear. "Oh, I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. Don't cry," says the bee. "But you're right," says the bear. Oh, wow. The truth stings. Jomny leaves the bear and the bee so they can continue talking. All of a sudden, a big, fuzzy creature blocks Jomny's path. The creature is covered in fur, walks on two hind legs, and has one foot that is much larger than the other. Jomny and the creature make eye contact with each other and freeze in shock for a moment. Then, at the same time, they both break out into enormous smiles. Jomny runs towards the big creature with open arms. "Mel!" shouts Jomny excitedly. "Jomny!" shouts the big creature, whose name is Mel. Mel lifts Jomny into the air with a familiar joy. "How is your home planet?" asks Jomny, being carried high over Mel's head. "It is Goob," exclaims Mel. "How is yours?" "It is Goob," responds Jomny. Mel swoops Jomny down into a big, fuzzy, comfy hug. Jomny smiles, at peace and at ease for the first time since landing on Earth. When two aliens find each other in a strange place, it feels a little more like home, Jomny says, quietly nuzzling closer. Mel and Jomny embrace for a second more, then let go, each knowing they must go their own separate ways. "Bye," says Jomny, waving happily at Mel, who has started to walk away. "Okay, bye," says Mel, whose one larger foot stomps on the ground loudly, causing the turtle, who was just sitting nearby, to jump into the air in fright. The turtle hides, legs and arms tucked away from danger until Mel has walked off. "When life gets scary, it is nice to be able to hide," says the turtle meekly. At the same time, the snail Jomny met earlier scooches by eagerly, trying to catch up to Mel. "If I hide, I will get stepped on, so I've learned to face my fears head first." The snail slowly and steadily catches up to Mel and shouts, with a tiny but steady voice, "Hi." Mel hears this and turns around, delighted to talk to the small creature. "Oh, hello," Mel says to the snail happily. "I didn't see you there." From afar, the turtle watches. Jomny comes across a lone pumpkin, sitting solemnly in the middle of a patch. For no discernible reason, Jomny feels a bit scared to approach the pumpkin, but does so anyway because, Jomny realizes, the pumpkin looks a little bit scared too. "Every night I have the same nightmare," murmurs the pumpkin, "that somebody's going to cut me open and lobotomize me. In that same dream, my heart has been set on fire. I think it just means I am afraid of dying." The pumpkin looks at Jomny. Jomny looks at the pumpkin. The pumpkin nods knowingly at Jomny, then stares at the ground silently. Jomny senses this conversation is over and continues on. Jomny then sees the snail in the distance. "What happens after we die?" asks Jomny. "Nobody knows," says the snail. "That's why it is scary. Maybe the reason why we don't know is because it is so wonderful that nobody ever thought to turn back around to tell us," Jomny offers, hopefully. "Maybe," says the snail, looking at the ground and smiling slightly. Jomny walks until the sky gets very dark. Looking up, expecting to see stars but seeing none, the alien suddenly feels very afraid again. "Where did the stars go?" What on earth could they be hiding from? Jomny recognizes the patch that the pumpkin was in, but doesn't see the pumpkin there anymore. Then, a floating white blanket appears, in a fluid and sudden motion, glowing under the dark night sky and roughly the size of a pumpkin.
Oh no, a ghost! Jomny screams. Please don't haunt me, I don't want to be afraid.
The ghost under the white blanket floats solemnly for a moment and then sighs, not looking so scary anymore and more so just looking a little bit scared. I literally experienced the horrors of death, so maybe this isn't about you, the ghost says quietly, bobbing up and down in the air. Jomny thinks about this for a moment, then understands that the ghost is right.
What happens after you die? Jomny asks, trying to empathize with the ghost.
Nothing, says the ghost, gliding smoothly towards Jomny. What? Says Jomny, taken aback by this answer. The ghost tentatively offers a corner of the white blanket out to the alien.
What do you think is under this sheet? Go ahead. Take my hand.
Jomny looks at the ghost, trusting that nothing scary will happen, and takes the ghost's hand. As soon as Jomny grabs hold of the blanket, the ghost glides smoothly and silently upward, out from under the blanket and away from Jomny. The blanket falls slowly to the floor in a lifeless pile. Jomny looks up, searching the sky for the ghost, expecting to see anything, anything at all that the ghost could be, and instead sees, well, nothing. Jomny sees nothing. Nothing was floating in the sky in front of Jomny. Nothing is floating in the sky all around. Nothing was under the blanket the whole time. Jomny holds onto the blanket as a familiar voice echoes, without sound, all around the alien. The sky disappears and the ground disappears and the night disappears. Even the darkness disappears, and all that is left is Jomny, the blanket, and nothing. See? Nothing asks, trying to sound gentle. It's just me. Nothing. Hello again. Jomny looks down at the blanket, because it's the only thing Jomny can look at, and stays silent, not knowing really at all how to talk to nothing. Nothing tries again. Being afraid of death is the same as being afraid of nothing. Jomny looks up, meekly and quietly.
Somehow I am not comforted, Jomny finally manages to say.
But how can you be afraid of me? I am not made of anything. There are no scary things inside me, see? Says Nothing, trying to show Jomny all the nothingness that exists and has ever existed.
Now I'm afraid of everything, Jomny says, looking back down at the blanket.
Wait, no, please do not be afraid. Can you just not be afraid at all? Asks Nothing, helplessly. Jomny doesn't speak for a long time. Eventually, the sky reappears, bright and blue and crisp and cold. The ground reappears, and Jomny buries the blanket under the patch of dirt that the pumpkin once belonged to. The rest of the world reappears, and Jomny walks, without a direction to go in, but simply to feel the feeling of the ground. Jomny lies down next to the tiny pond. The tadpole floats, with little tadpole feet now paddling slowly about, and slightly bigger tadpole hands clasped together anxiously. The egg is there too, looking quietly at the ground. Jomny sees the caterpillar's cocoon, still closed and still hanging, very still, in the cold air. The three friends wait silently for the caterpillar to come out of the cocoon, or for the cocoon to shake, or make a sound, or do anything at all. But nothing happens for a very long time. Jomny gets up and walks to the bigger pond. There, the hedgehog and the otter are deep in conversation.
I can't do it. I can't art, says the hedgehog, sitting at the edge of the pond, still wearing a tutu.
Don't fret, my dear, says the otter, wading in the water. If art is the translation of the ephemeral into an observable form, then always remember that it is the translation that is the craft. The craft is that which can always be improved, but the ephemeral is that which only you have been able to observe, and that which only you have chosen to translate. And so, in a way, the ephemeral is you, and it is already beautiful. The otter smiles serenely. The hedgehog stares blankly into the water.
Okay, says the hedgehog eventually. Did you understand that at all? Asks Jomny a little while later. The hedgehog frowns. Not really. Back at the little pond, the caterpillar's cocoon has started to shake. Just as Jomny gets there, the top of the cocoon comes flying off, and the caterpillar emerges gloriously from within, leaping into the air and then flying all around the little pond. To everybody's surprise, the caterpillar has grown wings. Hi, says the flying caterpillar. Hi, wow, you're beautiful, says the tadpole, with two big tadpole hands clasped together in excitement and two big tadpole legs milling about in the water. The tadpole looks down and notices that, wait a minute, where did these hands and legs come from? Wait, I think I'm changing now too, shouts the tadpole excitedly. Then suddenly, with a pop, the tadpole changes into a frog. The frog looks down and sees that what were once tadpole hands are now frog hands, and what were once tadpole legs are now frog legs, and what was once a tadpole body is now an entirely different frog body. I thought I'd be beautiful, says the frog. I think you're beautiful, says the egg, leaning in and smiling. A little while later, while walking alone, Jomny hears some faint shouting from the ground. Hey! Hi! Hi! Hey! Jomny stops and looks around, finally realizing that the shouting is coming from a tuft of grass. We are happy to provide comfort for you to be walking on, shouts the tuft of grass, after seeing that Jomny has noticed them. Another tuft of grass chimes in. Thank you for being gentle when stepping on us. Jomny smiles, nods, and continues on. Jomny then sees a big, familiar, fuzzy shadow looming in the distance, and, after walking closer, notices that it's not one big fuzzy shadow, but two. The shadows are of the bear and Mel, and Jomny sees that they are holding hands. It's just like Jomny said, says Mel to the bear with a heart full of love. When two aliens find each other in a strange place, it feels a little more like home. Jomny then sees the tree in the distance, and from afar, it looks like the tree has grown back, a full head of leaves. Getting closer, Jomny realizes that they're not leaves at all, but instead, the tree's branches are full of all sorts of small humans. Birds, bees, and the owl are nestled into the tree's branches. The frog, the flying caterpillar, and the egg have come to visit the tree as well. Jomny sees the turtle, who is slowly catching up to the rest of the humans. If a tree falls in love with the forest, but it doesn't make a sound, will the forest ever hear it? The turtle ponders. A bee buzzes past them and flies up to the tree. Hello. H-E-L-L-O. Hello, says this particular bee. The tree is happy. Then, after a while, all the humans get up and leave. The flying caterpillar flies away, and all the bees follow. Jomny goes with them. Who's that? Asks one bee, enamored with the flying caterpillar. Who? W-H-O. Who? Says the one particular bee. A flying flower, surmises a third bee. Wow, says a fourth bee, thinking that a flying flower might be the most amazing thing in the entire world, even better than a regular flower because a flying flower can fly. A fifth bee tries to go up and talk to the flying caterpillar and blushes, then turns back around. I'm shy, the fifth bee whispers to a nearby tuft of grass. They follow as the flying caterpillar flies up to the flower. I used to be a worm, but now everybody loves me, says the flying caterpillar, having a feeling that the flower might be someone who would understand. I know how you feel, nods the flower. I used to be a stick. Maybe what everybody really loves is our petals. The flying caterpillar's petals flutter thoughtfully in the air. The flying caterpillar flies closer to the flower as two bees look on nearby. Wow, you really understand me, says the flying caterpillar. May I land on you? Yes, says the flower, smiling. The flying caterpillar hovers for a second, then lands lightly on the flower's face. The flower smiles. The flying caterpillar smiles back. For the both of them, it feels nice to have found someone who understands them. Then, they both look up and see Jomny and the bees staring. Jomny, could you stop watching, please? They shout. Sorry, Jomny says, backing away, as the bees all turn around, embarrassed. Let's go, says a bee to all the other bees. Bye, B-Y-E. Bye, says the one particular bee. Jomny sees the egg and the frog.
I'm so worried about what I will hatch into, shouts the egg, shaking anxiously.
The flying caterpillar, hearing the egg in distress, flies by and sits on Jomny's head.
Well, what do you want to be?
Says the frog, placing a froggy hand onto the egg's forehead, trying to make the egg feel calmer.
I don't know, the egg shouts, even more anxiously. Everything.
Okay, well, ponders the frog. Would you rather be a big fish in a little pond or a little fish in a big pond? The egg considers this question for a long time.
Can I be a frog? The egg asks, finally.
The frog thinks about this for a moment.
Okay.
With the egg feeling calmer and happier, Jomny walks with the flying caterpillar back to visit the flower. But when they get there, the flower is nowhere to be seen. Instead, some bees are flying around, frantic and distraught and anxious.
What happened to flower? Flower is gone,
shouts one of the bees.
I don't know. I don't know, shouts another. Why did this happen? Shouts the flying caterpillar. I don't know, shouts yet another bee.
The flying caterpillar looks closer and sees what appears to be some of the flower's petals, discarded carelessly in the grass. The flying caterpillar flies down to take a closer look, then picks up a petal in silence. This is all that is left of the flower. The flying caterpillar starts to cry. One by one, the bees fly up to the flying caterpillar, gently, and without being enamored this time.
I'm so sorry, but you are our friend now and we will look after you, and we are friends now, okay?
Says one of the bees.
But what did I ever do for you?
Asks the flying caterpillar, still holding one of the flower's fallen petals.
You taught us that we don't have to define ourselves by who we are infatuated with,
says another bee, seeing the flying caterpillar now as a caterpillar and no longer as a collection of flying petals.
Friend. F-R-I-E-N-D.
Friend. Says that one particular bee, as all the bees keep the flying caterpillar company and offer their friendship as the flying caterpillar grieves. The bees and the flying caterpillar all fly away together into the sky where Jomny cannot follow. Jomny walks, alone, for a long time until reaching a large pond, a gigantic pond. This pond is different, Jomny notes. This pond has no other side. There's just water as far as Jomny can see. Jomny pauses for a while, looking out at the vast expanse.
I wish I had friends, Jomny says out loud.
In the distance, out over the ocean, the small bright dot in the sky floats lazily downward, as the sky turns orange, then pink, then purple. Also in the distance, a handful of birds flutter around in a panic.
Oh no, the glowing lentil is leaving, notices one of the birds sadly. Don't go into the water, you'll drown, says another bird, trying to talk directly to the small bright dot. Come back, lentil, shouts a third bird, helplessly. Now we will be shrouded in eternal darkness for eternity again, laments a fourth bird, overwhelmed with sorrow.
Don't go, tries a fifth bird, but the small bright dot floats downward, out of the sky and into the water. The sky turns a deep dark blue. In the distance, the spaceship appears, bringing a wash of stars and a dark night with it, as it lands near Jomny. Two by two, the aliens pile out of the spaceship, under the cover of the night and the light of the stars.
Are you my friends? Jomny asks the aliens.
What? Says the first alien. No, says the second alien, answering for the first alien.
We are strictly your colleagues, says the third alien.
You have no friends.
We have no friends,
says the fourth alien, elaborating on the point made by the third alien. Our species functions perfectly without friends, says the fifth alien. Yeah, says the sixth alien, agreeing with the fifth alien, then looking out across the deep, dark, vast ocean and feeling no emotions whatsoever. The aliens pile back in the spaceship, two by two, and take off, taking the stars and the night sky with them as they go. Jomny, as always, remains on Earth. Goodbye, strictly colleagues, says Jomny to the spaceship as it vanishes from sight. Then, out of the ocean, the small bright dot appears again,
rising slowly out of the water and flooding the sky with daylight. Seeing this, the birds flock around it, excitedly chirping and singing. "Hey, look, the lentil came back," says one of the birds. "But it's over here now," says another bird, noticing that the small, bright dot emerged from the water at a different place than it originally went in. "Give it space! Give it space!" shout two other birds. "I am glad the lentil is back," says another bird, gratefully and full of peace. "The eternal darkness is not eternal," says the one specifically alarmist bird, who every night thinks every night will last forever. "Thank you, lentil. We love you," says another bird to the small, bright dot. The small, bright dot does not respond, but instead continues to float upward, higher and higher, into the sky. Jomny finds the frog setting up a little school for the egg. "Okay, welcome to frog training. Since I have become a frog, I have learned happily how to be a frog. This is what I learned," says the frog to the egg. "The most important thing about frogs is frogs can jump." The frog leaps high into the air, jumping over the egg and landing on the other side. "Like this," the frog says. "Now you try." The egg backs up and prepares to, like the frog, leap high into the air. However, instead of getting off the ground at all, the egg rolls slowly onto its side. The egg smiles. It was the best jump the egg had ever done. "Okay," says the frog supportively. "Frogs also have a long tongue, like this," the frog says, showing the egg how to lick the air with a long frog tongue coming out of the frog's mouth. "Hi," the frog's tongue says to the flying caterpillar. "Hi," the flying caterpillar says back. The egg tries to lick the air too, but a short and fat egg yolk tongue comes out of the egg's mouth instead. "Like this?" asks the egg. The frog notices that the egg's tongue is quite different. The frog tries one more lesson with the egg. The frog leads the egg back to the small pond. Hop! The frog jumps in and sinks under the water. Roll! The egg splashes in and floats. "Frogs also breathe underwater. Maybe you can breathe underwater," the frog says to the egg. The egg, getting more and more worried, floats close to the frog and whispers, "What if I don't need to breathe at all?" The frog ponders this for a moment. "You're a very strange frog," the frog says. "Okay," says the egg, in a very small voice. Jomny leaves the frog training lessons and continues to walk onward, all the while lost in thought about the egg's predicament. At that moment, the dog bounds up to Jomny and says another word that can roughly be translated to the symbol of a heart. Jomny pets the dog. "If you're always happy, are you ever truly happy? Or is happiness only something we see in you because we know sadness?" Jomny asks the dog. The dog does not respond. Instead, the dog sees a bee nearby and runs off to say another word to the bee that can also be roughly written as the symbol of a heart. The bee tries to fly away. "Wait, no, don't do this, I might sting you," shouts the bee anxiously as the dog follows the bee off into the distance. Jomny, now thinking about the dog's happiness, or perhaps lack of sadness, as well as the egg's predicament, walks away, head heavy and full of thoughts. Out of nowhere, as if like a dream, a big giant bird, a turkey, appears behind Jomny and calls out to the sad alien. "Never be sad about the past," says the turkey. "It has already happened and you cannot change it. Instead, focus on what truly matters, being sad about the future." Jomny stops and turns around. The turkey takes Jomny under a big warm wing and they walk together. "There are many reasons to be sad," says the turkey. "You may be sad because you feel alone. The comforting thing about feeling lonely is that everything that has ever existed also knows what loneliness feels like too." Jomny and the turkey come across the tree's apple child, sitting alone in a patch of grass, frowning slightly. The turkey gestures toward the apple. "You may be sad because you are sad. It is okay to be sad," continues the turkey. "But if you are sad because happiness is fleeting, just remember that sadness is fleeting too." The apple looks at the turkey. The turkey looks at the apple. "When you are sad, it is okay to let yourself be sad. That is okay." The turkey stops and looks at Jomny seriously. "Enjoy your sadness," says the turkey. "One day, even your sadness will be over too soon."
The turkey gestures toward the sky and recites a short poem. An explosion of light. The universe is created. Earth forms. Plants grow. A grape falls off a vine and dries. Everything happens for a reason. The turkey bends down and gently scoops a small raisin off the ground. I have lived a good life, says the raisin in a creaky, fragile voice. Me too, smiles the turkey, then walks away, seeming to, like a dream, vanish into thin air. A little while later, Jomny sits with the tree. I never saw the big bird again, Jomny says sadly. Why did the big bird leave? Oh, says the tree, wondering how much about the turkey's fate to tell Jomny. Well, let's just be thankful that we get to be on Earth at the same time as everybody we get to meet, okay? Offers the tree. Jomny stands up and gives the tree a big hug. I am thankful that you still come back to visit me, the tree says, leaning into Jomny's embrace. For a long time, Jomny walks, alone. Then, Jomny stops walking and stands, overwhelmed with different emotions. A familiar voice echoes from all around, without making a sound. You cannot feel it, but I am giving you a hug right now, says Nothing, trying to comfort the alien. Thank you, Nothing, says Jomny, actually feeling nothing for once. Above, from the top of the sky, snowflakes, big, lumpy snowflakes, start to fall, softly, to the ground. Jomny stands still, feeling nothing, then feeling the comfort of the weight of the snowflakes as they proceed to slowly but surely cover everything. The snow covers the grass, the leaves, then the ground so completely that the ground disappears. A blank, white layer of snow takes its place. A pile of snow forms on Jomny's head. In the distance, and almost too difficult to see between all the big, lumpy snowflakes, the spaceship appears again, bringing the night sky and twinkling stars with it as it approaches. The spaceship lands softly in the snow, and the aliens pile out, two by two, in complete and utter panic. They look up at the stars and realize they can't see any of them. The falling snowflakes have all but blocked out the view of the night sky. The aliens run around frantically. What is this? Says the first alien, pointing to a particularly big and lumpy snowflake. What did you do? Shouts the second alien at Jomny. Why is it cold? Says the third alien, extending a hand and watching as a big lumpy snowflake lands on it. It is cold because Earth is dying, shouts the fourth alien, completely panicking about the snowflake in the third alien's hand. How could you do this? Shouts the fifth alien, running through the snow toward Jomny. Do you know how liable we are if Earth dies and you are here? We have to leave. Now! Jomny looks at the aliens in alarm. Wait, please let me say goodbye then. Okay, fine, says the sixth alien, but you cannot tell them their planet is dying. You cannot save them. Hurry. We will come back to get you. At this, all the aliens shuffle through the snow and pile back into the spaceship, two by two. The spaceship takes off, taking the night sky with it, swooping uneasily through the air as it tries to avoid the falling snowflakes. Jomny watches the spaceship leave through the falling snow and looks back at the ground after it disappears. So many snowflakes have fallen that the footprints of the aliens have already been covered by a fresh layer of untouched snow. Jomny considers the snow and worries about how to tell all the humans that the Earth is dying. While Jomny stands still, considering this, the snail scooches through the snow with a huge, ecstatic smile, watching delightedly as the snowflakes fall all around. Jomny watches the snail. The snail looks so happy. Does the snail know the Earth is dying? All the while, the snow continues to pile on Jomny's head. A small but deep void appears in the sky amidst the falling snow. In this void, this orb of nothingness, there are no falling snowflakes. It appears the snowflakes fall around the void instead, leaving nothing inside. Nothing's familiar voice echoes from everywhere and nowhere at once. Personally, I like the snow, Nothing hums. It creates more nothing. Earth is not dying, it is just getting simpler. Jomny considers this and looks up at the snow, up at nothing, and up at the sky. The pile of snow slides off Jomny's head and plops softly onto the ground. Jomny shuffles through the snow and spots the hedgehog, sitting alone in the cold. I don't know how to make art, mutters the hedgehog. I'm so inspired.